Okay, I'd like to call this committee of the whole meeting to order. Time is 6:31. In John's absence, can you do the roll call?
Olson?
Yes.
Dushman?
Yes.
Boyer, absent. Sias, absent. Barry?
Here.
Bucaro here. Danny?
Yes, here. And pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Carolyn, do we have any town hall?
No.
Okay. Agenda this evening is just to get an update from John Falduto, managing partner at Sawyer and Falduto. Go ahead, John.
Thank you. So I did, first of all, put in front of you the first of a formal report, if you will, that talks about the investment portfolio and what we've been up to. And I have to mention that it's been a pleasure to work with everyone. We've had a lot of input, whether it's Mr. Olson or Carolyn or Mary Ann, Mr. Barry. So we've had a lot of good interaction and we've gotten the ball rolling. Interest rates are up a little bit, which is a good thing. So that keeps helping with the bottom line. So why don't we run through the report, and I'll certainly be glad to answer any questions that we can along the way. If we turn to page 3 of 16, and we have this broken down in the, there's two accounts or two funds. We'll start with the general fund first. And if you look in the middle there at the top, you'll note that we've got the allocation, how we're invested, broken down by the type of security. And you'll see the total bottom line there at $2,276,000. And this is as of May 31st. We typically run these on a monthly basis, and we'll forward these out to Carolyn for distribution to the board right after the end of each month, so that you have it for your board meetings if we're not here, that type of thing as well. Morning, John. How are you?
Well, how are you? Thank you. Sorry to be late.
Oh, no, we just started, so we're good. If you look at the cash flow review, this gives a nice summary of the inception to date of the relationship, and it breaks it down month to date, quarter to date, year to date, and since inception. And you'll note that that year to date and since inception are basically the same, but I will focus on the inception to date because the dollars initially did start with us right before January 1st. So we had a zero beginning balance at the inception, of course. We've had contributions in, or additions in as we call them, $2,250,000. We've had zero distributions, so no money has gone out. We have capital appreciation, in this case a negative number, so we have a little bit of depreciation. As I mentioned, interest rates have gone up. And remember, when the interest rates go up, the value of the bonds goes down slightly. It doesn't change what we're going to get in the end. You're going to get your interest payments, you're going to get your principal back at the end. But during this interim window, as of May 31st, a little bit of depreciation, and we would expect that with interest rates going up. We also have interest that's been received, $21,962. Also had change in accrued income, $7,888. And essentially, remember what accrued income is. It's interest that we've earned in the portfolio. You haven't received it yet because the due date for the payment hasn't hit. That said, if we were to sell everything on May 31st, you own that interest. You would have gotten that. So you count that towards the size of your portfolio, if you will. And you've got the ending value there, $2,276,000, as noted above. So your investment gain for this period of time, $26,513. The nice chart that right below that, the projected income, this gives us a nice sense of what the interest flow is going to be on the bonds that we own today through the next four quarters, and that totals a little less than $100,000. And then you've got projected income and maturities, and this is a useful tool. So if there's a need at some point in the future, we're sitting here at the meeting, and you say, well, you know what, we're going to be doing a re-roof on the building, or we have to entertain a large project, we're going to need $300,000 in the next 6 months. What do we have coming up? You can easily see at the bottom of this page there kind of what quarter by quarter the dollars and cents is in terms of income flow or maturity flow in the portfolio. That also gives us the opportunity to reinvest, of course, and if rates continue to go up, we'll reinvest at higher rates, of course. Page 4 of 16 is a nice chart that kind of gives a running total, if you will, of the growth of the relationship in over time. So if you look and you start at the bottom of that little short list there, fourth quarter, again, starting value zero. We did have $1 million come in that first couple of days at the end of December. Ending value was $1 million, and there was no investment gain for that first couple of days of December. First quarter hit, another $1 million came in. Ending value as of the end of March was $2,013,000, so you were up about $13,000 for that period. And then second quarter, which is really a quarter to date, we had another inflow of $250,000. And the net investment gain for that window of time has been $12,877, again, getting you back to that $26,513. We move to the next page on the right, page 5 of 16. You see at the top a bar chart that tells us where the maturities are relative to the calendar. And then down near the bottom, you see the bonds that we own. And you've got the principal value, or excuse me, the principal amount or the face value of the bonds. We've got the value, meaning if we had sold everything on May 31st, what would the market have provided? So a slight gain there. You've got current yield at 4%, yield to cost 4.7, at a cost basis, I should say, and then versus market value at 5.2%. And the duration of the portfolio, slightly less than a year. That makes sense. We're keeping this very short, very conservative. We don't want to take a lot of principal risk. We don't want interest rate risk, that kind of thing. So we're in a good spot. Go ahead.
You're saying that the modified duration represents the average life of the investments?
In general terms, yes. So you have average maturity or duration. From an investment perspective, duration is what we look at. But it's generally the same concept, especially with the short-term bond portfolio.
Okay. Yep. That was one of my questions.
Yes. And note this accounts for, you know, a little over $1 million of the $2 million, because we did keep the other half roughly in the money market fund, which is paying almost 5% these days. And again, that's extremely liquid for any cash flow needs that you might have. All right. We flip to the next page, which would be page 6 of 16. We do have the list of the securities held by the Bartlett Library at this point. So you've got this broken down by U.S. Treasuries, certificates of deposit, government agency securities, callable government agency securities, and we do have a small taxable bond in there as well. A piece came available, and we put it into several of our portfolios. And then you see that money market fund. Again, as of May 31st, you see the yield on that 4.7%. It was creeping up to this point. It might be a little bit higher as we sit here today. Any questions so far on the content or the securities, that kind of thing? Go ahead, John.
Just one of the second item under the taxable bonds, the 4.4% U.S. Treasury bill, just shows a current yield of zero. Is that some sort of processing?
Yeah, it makes sense only from the perspective of being a T-bill. When we buy it at a discount, and it doesn't pay any interest. It just matures at a higher level.
Zero coupon?
It's a zero coupon bond.
Okay.
Yep, exactly right.
Thank you.
So in terms of the annual income quote, it's zero because you really don't have an interest payment. It's just you buy it at... glasses back on so I can see where we're at, but
sure. We could have bought it at 95 cents in the dollar.
Correct. Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
And I think we might have transactions in here. Actually, that's a great point. I can look at that real quick and see what we did buy it at. Let's see here. T-bill 7/20/23. Yeah, we looks like we might have bought two chunks of that. We bought 73/247. Let's just see here now. I should have, shouldn't try to answer on the fly.
If someone's looking for specific interest, it might not satisfy that word, but it does make money.
It does, correct, yep. Yeah, so it doesn't give you interest, if you will, but it gives you gain.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the gist of my question.
Okay, very good. Other questions, go ahead.
Yes. Under the callables on the schedule, there are three instruments, one of which would have been callable in May, two in July. What's the likelihood in today's market that government funds are going to be called?
Yeah, so for example, that 3%, the first one of the callables, and right. That was a call date in May.
Obviously, they don't want to give that up because they're earning, I mean, they're having to pay very little.
Correct.
By comparison to the market.
Yep. But so what our guys look at is they look at the callable, they look to yield to call. So they say, hey, if the government does call this bond, how much are we going to earn? And does it make sense relative to if it wasn't a callable bond? Same thing if they don't call it and we hold it until maturity, how does it look relative to a bond that's going to go to full maturity without a call provision? To make sure that it makes sense in both cases. At this time, the yield on this one when we bought it made sense for the guys to buy that one relatively speaking.
Right.
Yeah, with that call provision or call risk as they call it. Yeah.
If it's not called on the date specified, does it go to maturity, or are there still options for them to
You know, I don't know positively because I think there's different call provisions with any bond that's out there that has call provisions. I don't know specifically on this one, but I could certainly email you back and with an answer tomorrow on that. Because in some cases, callable bonds are, once the call date hits, they can call at any time. And at other times, it's one-time call where they can call it on that date. And if they don't call it, it then goes to maturity. Or they may have, I'm not sure, but they may have a ladder of call dates, you know, that every 3 months they could call it if they want to. But I'd have to look at it and let you know if that's okay. Rest of the report we do include starting on page, oh, I'm sorry, you know what, I was looking at the wrong, when I was looking at that T-bill, I was looking all the way at the back for the transactions, forgetting we have a second report in here. So give me 1 second on that T-bill question, I can answer that for you now. When we paid that, when we bought that T-bill, we paid $97,663. So we've got a $2,400 roundly gain in that, and it's a roughly 6 month window. So if you annualize that, it's about 4.8, 4.9%.
That's in the middle of page 9?
Middle of page 9, yep. Right. And what I did is, our naturally, in all of our other reports, we only have one account. The transactions are at the back for the whole thing. So I thought I was struggling there a little bit. I was going to find it, but it was taking me a while.
No trouble.
That is the general fund. I'd be glad to answer any questions on that. Otherwise, I can jump into the second report, if you will, and that starts on page 10. Right.
I have a question about projected interest or projected income, but until we have both in front of us, I think it probably doesn't make any sense to get into that.
Okay. You want me to go ahead and do this report?
Please.
Okay. So we go to page 10 of 16, and this is the capital needs fund. And you see the chart at the top of the page and the allocation there, about $759,755 as of May 31st. Using the same approach on the right-hand side of cash flow, we started with $0. We had $750,000 come in initially. We've got capital depreciation of $1,660. Income or interest at $6,335. Accrued income at $5,000. Gets us to that total of $759. So when you do the math, we're up $9,755 during this window of time, about roughly 5 months. We've got the projected income. Again, interest payments coming in around $28,000 for a full calendar year, realizing that some of these securities are shorter than a year, so they may not produce income the next 6 months. This does not project any reinvestment. It's purely the assets that you hold. So the income would really be a little bit more than that because we'll reinvest anything that matures, of course. And then you do have the projected incoming maturities at the bottom here. You can see, again, roughly half the portfolio coming due in the next 12 months or interest payments coming in. So we've got nice cash flow. Page 11 of 16, we've got the same chart. It goes quarter by quarter, working your way up. You can see at each period how much the net investment gain was and any inflows or outflows. In this case, it was all $750,000 right at the beginning. We've got the bond analysis on page 12 of 16. And note, at the bottom of that page, you see the principal and the value. You've got $720,000 of principal. You've got a little bit of more in value at $721,000. And then you see the yield characteristics and the duration that we talked about a minute ago. You've also got the holdings. And again, the list of securities is similar in terms of the style and how it reads. A little bit of each of the same securities split between the two portfolios. And then we've got the transaction ledger that starts on page 15 and 16. These are in reverse chronological order. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why this transaction ledger is in reverse chronological order, but it drives me crazy every time I give a first presentation. But that's the way they do it. So it's there for you, working your way backwards, if you will. So that is the quick report. Usually when we're invited to these meetings, I know that all of us, you know, have other things we probably want to do rather than listen to me talk. So I try to keep it as brief as possible, a little bit more wordy tonight. Usually I hit a few high points and then we open it up for questions and whatever you have an appetite for, I'm glad to answer.
This should be quick, but yeah. If we hadn't done this, I know you don't represent the old bank that we were at, but would it be fair to say maybe they would have given us 1%? Maybe that was generous?
Yeah, I'd have to look back at the records, but yes, you're certainly in a better spot than bank deposits. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got $750 in this account invested. We've already.
I'm just delivering mail. Everybody had mail, so I wanted to make sure.
Thank you. We've already earned roughly $10,000. We're going to earn close to $30,000. I mean, if if anybody's wondering, hey, is this working versus the old way, it's wildly better than the old way, and it's guaranteed products. This is not the stock market. Very effective. Yeah. Thank you.
And the element of, if you have cash, which you do as an organization, why not get a little bang for the buck with it,
yes,
without taking any risk? Why wouldn't you do it?
Thank you.
And I do that personally, so why would I do it with you? You know, that kind of thing.
And when we had the meeting with you, we talked about the interest amount for our budget, and James, the accountant, had said that $100,000 for our interest level was a good conservative amount between the interest for both accounts.
Yeah, that's one thing I would say, and we work with James now a lot. I mean, we just see him everywhere because he does so much of this now, and so do we. I think whenever we're ramping up with a new relationship, it's always better. You know, again, if you're saving for college, you don't put a dollar away hoping to hit it exactly. Instead, be a little conservative. I would do that here too, and that was James' recommendation as well. Be a little conservative. Interest rates could go down the second half of the year. Whatever the case may be, let's play it a little bit safe, and then you're not disappointed, I guess, is the way to put it. Good.
Getting to my questions on both. On your projection of income, or on reflected on page 3 and 10, there are quarterly projections. If I understand correctly what you said about those projections, is they're based on the actual amounts to maturity of instruments that we currently own. And any cash that comes back to our account from those investments is not earning anything in your analysis or projected.
In the projection, I agree with what you said, yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I said, yeah.
So, right now, and the quarters, when you say quarter 3, we're talking July 1 to September 30th?
Right.
Okay. So, in your projection for what's also our current or our next fiscal year, in the general fund, we've got $98,000 projected. We've got $28,000 in the capital, which is $127,000 roughly. That is locked in. I mean, we're going to have that, correct?
Unless for some reason there was a cash need of some sort and the securities were sold. You know,
No. But that's why I asked the question, okay, if we were to sell something. But we have large cash portions of all of this that would be increased by the maturities that we're not taking into account in your roll forward analysis of projected revenues, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
So we're going to have, without affecting interest income, available free-flowing cash that we can either reinvest and earn additionally, or we can take out and use for whatever purposes we might need.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes. It's, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, without any question, $128,000 without reinvesting anything and without additional investments. And so if our accountant is recommending that we blow off on our budget $28,000 that we're going to get, I have a real problem with that. Okay. I just wanted to understand that I was thinking correctly about this.
Yep. So the projections that we put together, or the system generates based on the holdings today, I would agree with you. Yes, I would expect that your income will be a little bit higher than that $100,000 number that we discussed, but it's not uncommon in these situations to discount it a little bit just to be safe, in that if there is a cash need of some sort, you wouldn't have that, and you would have budgeted for more than you actually received. So most are generally more comfortable being a little more conservative, especially as you're ramping up and getting into this, but I certainly understand your question.
If I look at your analysis right now, the at the end of May, the Schwab Fund, which is basically a cash equivalent fund, was paying 4.7%, correct?
The money market, correct, yes.
Right. But I mean, it's essentially cash.
Right.
And if we're currently earning in our Fifth Third Now account 1.1%, what sense does it make not to move money to where we can get four times the return? Because the banks are going to move their Now account rates pretty much along the same lines that Schwab would for their money market.
Yeah, I would say on the bank side versus the Schwab side, it is quite a bit different. And from the perspective of the bank, remember how the bank makes their money, right? As they take in dollars, right, they pay you interest, but then they turn around and lend it out and they make the spread.
Right.
And interest rates on bank deposits always go up slower than you would on a 7-day to 30-day maturity money market fund, because right, they can flip that in 30 days, whereas you've got long-term obligations where you're earning way less than you would be paying if you bumped your rates up that high from a bank perspective. So long story short, I think from an interest perspective, again, personally, using me as the example, or even Sawyer Feldman with a company, I had a couple $100,000 sitting in the corporate checking account, you know, waiting to pay the bills and pay the employees. And I looked at the Schwab money market paying 4.7, and I said, well, for 25 days, even if I leave it there earning, I'm better off. And we did the flip, just like, you know, you're talking about. So that would certainly be an option. And you have complete liquidity in the money market where we could easily transfer it back as needed.
And I think James and Trustee Barry and I, and you talked about that, right, that we were going to wait until the Cook County deposits come in, and then he was going to review everything,
yep,
and then
do
say, hey, you,
analysis.
Yeah, and then yep, say, hey, you have this much money, why don't you invest it, you know, or it's a good time to move that money.
Right.
So he and Dave and I were going to keep an eye on that and make the move when we felt it was appropriate.
Exactly right. Yep, that's what we talked about.
So in today's market, if we gave you $500,000 and you didn't do anything with it other than put it into the Schwab money market fund, at the end of May, we would have been earning 4.7%, correct?
The money market rate was 4.7, yes.
So if we had an available $500,000 that we did not expect to need until November or December of next year, why would we want to throw away $23,000 in potential interest income? Because our investments allow us to do additional things that benefit the library and the community that we serve.
We are certainly welcome the chance to help.
And I'd like to interrupt you,
yeah,
with that, because what we're doing here, it's updating the investments that we have. No. We're not looking at what we have with this other money sitting here that maybe we need to make an immediate, you know, I mean, May is gone. And
yeah.
So all of your explanations on this portfolio is excellent. And we are aware that we can shuffle money to you and back.
No, and I understand that. We have the resource here. I'm trying to.
Yeah, but I just, it almost like sounds like you're undercutting particular thoughts of the way things are set up at the moment. And I think, Mr., we're certainly not saying John isn't doing a great job. He's doing a fantastic job.
And I don't take it that way at all. I appreciate that.
I liked hearing the interaction and just hearing, you know, the support you gave or ideas. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I would like you to maybe discuss a little bit about the money link, because we do have that as our first item, I believe, on our agenda for our regular board meeting. We had talked about it initially as the board when we first started this whole process. So when Joe and I, or when Trustee Olson and I were making the transfers, it was him and I and then another person going to witness the in-person transaction at the bank. So we had talked about doing the money link, which is a direct link between the NOW account and the Schwab account with directions going into A or B. And it would all be like an email transaction where James would say, hey, you've got 500,000, it's a good time to move it. I would reach out to the treasurer would approve it. Then we would reach out to the president of the board, they would approve it. And then we would reach out to you and that transaction would be made all online.
You want me to walk through how that kind of works?
We're still in the
media
of the
hole.
Manny, we're still in the media of the hole.
So we have the functionality called MoneyLink, and that's what we use day in and day out for our almost 200 Illinois Police and Fire pension funds, all of our fire district accounts, and any other governmental agencies that we manage money for. And MoneyLink is a simple concept. It's really the equivalent of an ACH transfer, but it's in a pre-formatted and direct-only link between the bank account that this board approves and signs off on, and the Schwab account, which you again approved and signed off on. The only place money can move is between your Schwab account and that NOW account. It's a link that has to be set up, approved by the signers on both of the accounts, and then a test is done to make sure, again, that that link is set up properly. And then once that link is set up, we have the ability to initiate a transfer between account A and account B. That's the only direction money can go, between A and B and B and A. That's it. But the benefit is, as you move money between your local account and the Schwab account, it's done electronically via ACH versus a wire transfer, which again is a manual process of some sort that requires data to be filled in, dollar amounts to be filled in, somebody signing off on it, probably a fee at the bank, and then it goes out into Fed Wireland. And we just had one with the fire district Thursday of last week, where the wire transfer didn't arrive for a closing on a piece of property. At 3:30 for 2 o'clock closing, we had sent the wire instructions at 9:30 in the morning, hadn't been processed yet. Turned out the person entering at the bank put the wrong digit in the account number. Mm-hmm. So now they're waiting to find where the money actually went at that point. Long story short, we've used this MoneyLink functionality for the past 15 plus years for our police and fire funds. And on a monthly basis, we use it for over 125 or 30 of them to move money between their Schwab investment account and their checking account, which is the platform they use to pay their pensioners, which in some cases, more than 100 people.
Totally traceable?
It is, mm-hmm. Yep. And knock on wood, I wish for the first 15 years of my career we had MoneyLink available, because it works really, really well. The process day in and day out in working with the board would simply be, again, whoever identifies that there's cash available. I use
one more. All right, we're allowed.
Yeah, no worries.
Sorry.
No problem. So let's get to James or the board or Carolyn or whomever identifies that there's money that needs to be moved to the Schwab account for investment. Typically what happens is we receive word from the professional, whether it's James Howard, Carolyn, somebody on the board, whoever you dictate. It's your money, it's your process, to give me the authority to go ahead and click three or four buttons and a dollar amount and move money over to the Schwab account, or money over to the from the NOW account or to the NOW account. The process, though, is yours. So in some cases, at a pension board, they have an accounting firm that pays their benefits and their bills. They give that accounting firm the permission to direct us with the dollar amount, because they know that they're going to take that money and pay the pension benefits. In other cases, for fire districts, for example, the finance director or the administrative assistant to the chief, whomever it is, identifies the amount, sends John Feldudo a message that says, John, we need $500,000 of the checking account, copies the district trustee, and the district trustee responds, okay to transfer. So that there's that John Feldudo, I want some direction too from an authorized person to do something. Once we get that, and again, we're up and running, we know that it's okay to do that. Keeping in mind, this isn't going to anywhere outside of the organization. Same account name, same tax ID number. It's the assets of the district, in this case, the library. So long story short, it works really, really well. Nobody has to go to the bank, nobody has to sign off, nobody has to charge a fee or pay a fee, and the MoneyLink functionality, knock on wood, has always been outstanding. Yes?
I had asked for a copy of the agreement because I don't like to approve anything that I haven't been able to read, and that was denied. So I'm not necessarily adverse to this, but I'm not going to vote yes on something like this that I haven't had the opportunity to review the documents.
Okay. And obviously I'll leave that up to the board, how you guys want to handle the, there's a
It was not denied. I assumed that because you would be at the meeting that you would be able to answer the trustees' questions. Yeah. So it was not denied.
And I do have a MoneyLink, it's called an application. It's the details about how this process works with me. I've got it bound in the little book here with the other signer changes and things like that. But not something that we can easily probably pass around and discuss tonight. But again, the functionality is what I'm most familiar with, and obviously certainly glad to answer any questions I can. Other questions?
I thought we were already using it.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't set that up on the, when we set up the accounts, we didn't set that up that.
So if there's a link, is there some verification that you get once this is done to follow through? You know, so we're not in a situation like the example you gave?
That was a wire transfer.
Okay, so we would not be doing anything like that. Okay, I wasn't sure if we were incorporating that in as part of it in addition to. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Would you mind sticking around until we got to that key item? Thank you.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole meeting. It is fraction 7:02.
Second.
All right, Barry.
Yes.
Carl.
Here. Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
Danny.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Zayas. Yes.
Okay. I can reset the recorder.